laugh every time. I don't hear myself. Hang on, I'm gonna check my headphones. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
All right, fantastic.
Yes.
And the you guys that I have with me today are Becca Cates.
Hello.
You guys know Becca Cates. I call her my little Becca Cates. She's a budding producer here in Hollywood. And she's here to hang out with us today because today I have with us the one and the only Janet Robin.
Hello. Hello.
I love having Janet on. Janet is one of the most talented people that I know.
Wow. Thanks, Mom.
Oh, I really believe that. I honestly believe that. Janet and I met camping several years ago.
Yes.
And when you camp with musicians and actors...
Well, I didn't actually stay over.
No, you didn't. you're a hotel camper.
I am, yeah, hotel camper.
So we were camping in Malibu. It was a big group of women, and several women would leave at the nighttime.
I was one of them, yeah.
They would go stay in a hotel across the street on PCH and then come back for the daytime and evening festivities. And when you go camping with a bunch of friends from LA, inevitably you're with a bunch of actors and musicians. And the upside of that is you sit around the campfire at night and you get a true show with true talent.
It's true.
And
it was fun.
This is where Janet blew me away with her guitar playing and her raspy voice that I love. And a lot of you will remember Janet from What's Your Problem? What's Your Problem is a video blog that I did online where we take letters from viewers, and it's just about this. What we're doing today really is the spinoff of What's Your Problem, the radio spinoff. And you guys will remember Beautiful Freak from episode 2.
Congratulations on your own show here, Kathy.
Oh, well, thank you.
Just want to say congrats.
Thank you very much.
Because I remember when you started in the living room of your apartment.
Yes.
And this is how dreams are made here
yeah,
in LA.
That's right. Well, you were there with my cat crawling all over you.
And Lucia.
And Lucia crawling all over
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
We had to ask her to back off, though. So I'm so excited. Janet's here with her guitar. We're going to do some live stuff today. Remember when you were on my vlog and I was wearing a Poison t-shirt?
I think so. Yeah, that was the first one, wasn't it?
It was the first
yeah.
one. And I had no idea that you had played in a band in the 80s called Precious Metal.
Yes.
That opened for Poison.
Yes, we did. Yeah, it was an all-girl 80s hair rock band.
Yeah, that was when I decided Janet was a true rock star.
That
yeah,
is rock star.
We were friends with the guys in Poison, and we did a show with them, and we also wrote a song with C.C. DeVille, the guitar player.
I liked that little move you just did there. Just did a little air guitar thing.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I can't get over with being on radio is I think visual humor is so funny. And sometimes I find myself explaining it over the radio.
Yes.
Some people can,
and you know
what?
Can't see it.
And you know what's not funny? Visual humor explained. It's not
That's
funny.
That's true.
Yeah. So we have some letters here today that Janet's going to give us her input on, and we'll turn to little Becca Cates to see what she has to say as well. But first I want to hear a little bit about what Janet's doing, because she's doing a buttload of stuff, always and all the time. Well, wait a minute. I don't want to forget to mention what you did just a couple years ago. You toured the world with Air Supply.
I did.
As their lead guitarist.
I did, yeah. Their only female member that they ever had in that band. And that band is still going strong, Air Supply.
Well, I know.
You know, I'm all out of love.
Yeah, I love that song. I have to admit it.
No, they're huge. It was a great experience. Prior to being in Air Supply, I was of course still doing my own stuff. But throughout the 90s, after Precious Metal, I played in Lindsey Buckingham's solo band. The guy from Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah, that little guy.
Yeah.
That guy that some of us have heard of.
Amazing guitar player. And then I moved on to play with Meredith Brooks, and we did a tour opening for Melissa Etheridge, and that was pretty cool.
Awesome.
And then I did a little tour with a folk woman named Michelle Schacht.
I know that.
Some
I know of Michelle Schacht.
Yeah.
Yes, I know of all these names.
Yeah, yeah. I still occasionally get work as a hired guitarist if it's on tour or session work or, whatever it might be. I just did my first original score for a short film.
Oh,
that's awesome.
That was really cool.
What was the nature of the film?
Actually, it's very interesting. Two women meet on a deserted desert road, and they have some very similar black histories.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about it, and my mysterious guitar playing is in the background.
So is this the first time you sat down to write a piece of music where you looked at something visually, allowed that to move you and for the music to come out.
Yeah, I mean, I would say officially, I did some stuff for a web documentary, but it wasn't. It was just a very little bit of background. It was more like background music.
Right.
This was more official. I was in the post room with the editor, with the director, and we were doing it on cue as I was watching as I was watching the screen. So
that's awesome.
I've never done anything
like
that.
What was that like to do that? Now, when you normally write music, do you do it alone in a room? Like when you're going
to that
place?
I do it with 1,500 people.
Inside yourself.
I go usually try to dig deep inside and see what's going on with me that day. You know, it's not maybe necessarily something that happened a long time ago or that might happen. Sometimes it is, but I try to really be present.
Yeah.
And just let whatever comes up. Come up, but
and then you can really be in connection with your emotional
in the moment.
State.
Yeah. Yes, but when you're writing for a specific thing, it can't be like that.
No,
you have to really look at, you know, for instance, with this thing, you have to look at the film, and you know, go with the tension or the emotion of the scene. And of course, at that time, you're also being told kind of what the, you know, the director.
Right.
No, I need it to be shorter. I need this part. You know,
it's got
to
be a whole different experience.
It was different, but I loved it. I loved it.
Oh, yeah. Good. Well, that's good news.
I know
some artists, like I know a photographer who I think is phenomenally talented.
Yeah.
Just a really cool photographer. And she, because she's so talented and was getting so good at what she was doing, she was getting offered these jobs to do like movie posters and album covers, etc.
Yeah.
And she was having a really hard time accessing her those artistic places inside of herself when she had to sort of
at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When she had to access what someone else wanted to express.
Can be hard, but you know what? I actually found it pretty easy because sometimes it is hard for me to get to that place. It's so vulnerable and intimate.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's easier if I'm giving a direction.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not so attached to it. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. That's true. Yeah. Well, you have that kind of talent. You have that kind of talent.
Unattached talent.
No, the kind of talent where you can let go and just let it move through you.
I try to. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You do it well.
Oh,
I've seen it happen.
Thank you, Kat.
Should we take a letter?
Sure.
What do you think?
Let's do it. That's why you're here.
That's why we're here. And to exploit your talent on my show. Okay. I picked this letter because I know that, well, all of us have anxiety, and we all deal with anxiety. We all deal with OCD a little bit in our own way.
I have anxiety and OCD.
There
I
you
admit
go.
It.
Becca? Becca, do you want to fess up something?
I have severe anxiety.
Yes.
And other things that I won't go into.
If you live in Los Angeles, it's just a given.
Yeah.
You have some sort of anxiety.
Inherent in actors and musicians
I
and artists.
I think so, too.
I think that anxiety is what forces us to try to express ourselves in different ways. And
it's motivating.
Motivating, yeah. Yeah, it's motivating. See that? We just turned anxiety right around.
It's so motivating.
It's motivating towards a drink.
Yes.
And towards some drugs. No, I'm kidding.
No,
I'm
no.
joking. All right, here we go. This is from a young lady, 22, who has OCD. Hi, Kathy. I'm 22 and have OCD. I haven't been clinically diagnosed with it, but it doesn't seem like something I need to be told I have. It seems to be getting worse and worse, and I notice it is significantly worse when I am stressed or experience anxiety. I deal with anxiety as it is, so the OCD doesn't help. I have the same routines before I go to bed. Simple things like turning off the lights are a huge ordeal for me because I have to do it in a certain way until I can walk away from it. I don't know how else to describe it, but I guess I just have to get the right feel on things before I can move on. I also repeat things like touch or reading, and it usually has a count of 2 or 4. In stores, I can't even touch something else, or I end up having to touch it again. I call this double touch. I have tried to stop these rituals many times, but when I don't do them, I get almost unbearable anxiety. If you know of any ways I can learn to stop, I would love to know. And this is my favorite. This is the way she signed it, and I loved it. when really the OCD is, okay, so I'm sorry, I read the wrong sentence, but she's like, I really need some help times 4. Okay, that's a joke. All right.
A good sense of humor.
A good sense of humor.
Well, she was very honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she has a good idea of what's, I mean, clearly you're 22, but you're very intelligent about what's going on with you. At the end of the letter, she's like, I know that my OCD is an attempt to control my environment, but really it's controlling me. And that is kind of a summary of OCD in a nutshell.
True.
Yeah.
I think it's a byproduct of really bad anxiety.
It really is. It really is. So when you say you have OCD and anxiety, it's redundant, right? Because
pretty much
your anxiety is what drives you to these rituals and
to comfort your anxiety.
To comfort your anxiety. Becca, do you have something to say? It looks like you do.
Yeah, I think anxiety comes out in different forms. People have different symptoms for their anxiety, and I think OCD is a severe symptom of this. And you know, I think most of us, you know, we both have fessed up to having anxiety.
Yeah.
Kathy forced me to, but it's all right.
Admit it. The first step.
But I'm proud of it and I own it.
Hey, we all have anxiety.
Yeah.
You can't be human without it.
I do just want to say that I think this letter writer is so amazing because she really is communicating so articulately and intelligently about what she's going through, and she seems to really understand it well. So I think that's the first step in attempting to deal with your problem.
Yeah.
Realizing you have maybe that condition.
Yeah.
Janet, what form, if you don't mind me asking, on Worldwide Radio,
yeah.
What form does your OCD take? How does it
you
manifest?
You know, I'm not the typical washing the hands all the time or things like that. I mean, I do have to check my door before I go to sleep.
Okay. I would call this a right to do.
Yeah, and a couple times I've ran back to my house to make sure I turn the oven off because I have a cat at home. You know, so I don't know if that's OCD or just getting old.
You ran back to turn the oven off because you have a cat who likes to bake? What?
No, like if I left the gas on the oven, but you know, if I was cooking something.
You picture him drifting off into a carbon monoxide.
Yeah, exactly.
Oven. I understand.
Yeah. And actually one time I had left the gas on after cooking dinner and running out to go do something. I left it on low, you know, for some reason I thought I turned it off. Anyway.
But OCD would imply that like you do it
a lot
in a way that becomes dysfunctional.
Yeah,
in
that
life.
Runs your life. No,
yeah.
I would say I have the kind of OCD where I have repetitive thoughts, kind of a tape loop.
Right.
There's a lot of like in discussions with people, I have to be right.
Right.
Is that OCD? Or?
Uh-huh. Yeah. And so if you're not right, you feel the anxiety rise up.
Yeah, yeah. And it's I can't sometimes control that. That could be just from my family, but
well,
my family's
it's all
the
from
same
our
way.
Family, isn't it?
You know, I mean, I would just say you got to go get some therapeutic help. You got to go to a therapist, and sometimes it could lead to medication. And medication isn't a bad thing. I mean, if it helps you, makes you feel more comfortable. But at least, you know, if you go to a therapist and talk about it once a week, you might find some tools.
Right.
Specific tools.
Exactly. I was going to say exactly the same thing. You may be opposed to medication. I know a lot of people are. However, SSRIs, which are serotonin reuptake inhibitors, are really effective with OCD.
Yeah.
And they're really effective with what you were describing, the obsessive thoughts.
Right.
Like the circular thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
They can be really helpful and such a relief. And I would really encourage someone who is actually suffering from OCD, and it sounds like you're suffering. You know, it's not an easy thing for you. It's interrupting your life. It's interrupting your thoughts. It's interrupting your day and your night. I would look into SSRIs, and to do that, you have to see a psychiatrist or someone with an MD. You can't do that through a therapist.
But I think if you're doing that, you still have to go to talk therapy.
Right. And the next step would be to go, and I think cognitive behavioral therapy is the type of therapy that works best with this kind of thing, with OCD, because it'll give you a list of tools and ways to work cognitively.
Yes.
And behaviorally, which is what an OCD problem is. Your cognitions, where your thoughts lead you to behaviors. Mm-hmm. And so cognitive behavioral therapy can really help you learn some tools, like Janet says, to deal with that. But also, I just want to point out, you're really intelligent about what's going on with you. You don't need a diagnosis. You understand that this is what's going on for you. It's pretty much revealed itself to you. And your final statement of, I think I'm trying to control my environment, but it's controlling me, really,
very
really...
Very smart.
Yeah, very smart.
Yeah.
And I find this with a lot of OCD people, that they are very intellectually capable.
Yes.
And I always talk about us being three-thirds. Three-thirds make a whole, our body, our mind, our soul. And how one of them is usually going to be our default mechanism when we're feeling at our weakest or our vulnerable. One of them is going to, or maybe even two of them, will pop up to be your default mechanism. And I think yours is definitely your mind. And what happens now is the mind is now overactive. And it is trying to do things that it does not have the power to do. It is trying to tell you, if I tap the doorknob three times, I'll have better luck tomorrow, or whatever it is it's trying to tell you. And you're smart enough to know this isn't true, and you're smart enough for it to keep happening because your mind is so capable that it is trying desperately to protect you from your anxiety.
I think it's important, too, for people to know that that's not really them.
Yeah.
It's like almost like the anxiety is a different person inside themselves. Yeah. So that they don't beat themselves up over it.
Right.
You know, and sometimes it's genetic and you just can't help it. Maybe you got it from your family and you do have to work a little harder on it. Maybe it wasn't environmental. Maybe it's both. But so that people don't feel bad, like they have some disease or something.
Yeah,
you know?
You separate yourself from what's
going
on.
Yeah, and then maybe when you start separating it, you might be able to use those tools and have it work out better for you. The outcome might be better.
Right, right. When you start, you know, looking at it as something to be dealt with rather than an identity of who you are.
Right, right.
Yeah. Becca? You should see Becca's face right now. Her head is going up and down and nodding.
Well, no, I mean, I think I'm like a prime example of this type of thing. My default is my mind, too. Absolutely. I always...
And it becomes your worst enemy, doesn't
it? It is. It does. It becomes my worst enemy. And I think what Janet said, separating... yourself. I mean, it is. It feels like there's this separate entity inside of you that is making you feel crazy.
Yeah.
And I know crazy is not a good word to say.
No,
but
just running your life in a way that maybe you don't want it to.
Right, right.
And I think the word crazy, when we use it, when we feel crazy, it really denotes feeling confused and out of control.
Yes.
In some way. And, you know, everybody's etiology or reason.
That's how my
that.
Life is, Kathy.
Isn't it really? That's why you're a phenomenal artist.
I mean, again, and people that do suffer from anxiety and depression and OCD and other symptoms like this often are very creative people because they have all of this excess energy. And a lot of times, the outlet is something creative. Yeah. And sometimes doing something creative can help.
It can. I would also suggest, exercise.
Absolutely.
Exercise or yoga.
Yeah,
meditation.
Exercise and yoga release. Now, if we talk in scientific terms, you know, it releases chemistry that calms your brain.
Endorphins,
too. Endorphins, dopamine, all of that stuff is really useful if you're someone who has anxiety. So I think we pretty much gave her a lot to think about.
Is she listening right now?
I don't know. Are you listening right now?
I hope so, because we gave you some great advice.
Yeah, the call-in number, if you want to comment, is 818-602-4929. However, right now I want to take a little sidebar and see if Janet will play a song for us.
Yeah, sure.
What do you think?
Let's play a song.
You want to do something new, something old? You can surprise us.
I'm not sure. What should I do, Kathy?
I don't know, Janet.
It's all new to your listeners, isn't it?
It might be. Well, some of our listeners are familiar with Janet Robin.
Okay. I've got to get my headphones.
Because you're a rock star.
Well, I'm only a rock star to my mother.
Hey, does your mom come to your shows?
She does. My parents come when I'm in L.A.
Right.
Area.
That's so cute.
In fact, I grew up, by the way, in the Valley.
I know.
This is where we are.
Yes. Oh, you're in your hometown. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to turn
can
off.
You hear that okay?
Yeah.
How about now? No?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Janet Robin live in
All
L.A.
Right,
Talk
so
Radio.
I'll do one from the new song, new record. It's called Clean Getaway. Get you.
such a mess.
Awesome.
That was awesome.
I love watching you play the guitar. And your voice is growing.
I'm working on it. Yeah.
It's growing.
You sound beautiful.
All the time.
Thank you.
Wow.
That was great.
I've been doing a lot of touring, so.
Yeah. Well, you're just getting better and better.
Ah, thanks.
So where can we find that song? What CD?
It's on actually the CD's been out for a year, but it was only released in Europe. So it's finally coming out next year, January. Here in the States, and will be available on iTunes, Amazon, all those sites. But right now, the pre-sale is available on my website, which is www.janetrobin.com, and that's JANETROBIN.com,
right.
Or at any of my shows. And
yeah.
I do have some shows coming up.
You got a schedule up on your
site?
Yeah,
the tour schedule is up there. Some shows out here and some shows on the East Coast coming up, and so people can find me.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
Yeah.
I loved it. Okay, so we're going to move on to another letter.
Sure.
And then we're going to hear more from Janet after that letter, because while I have her here, I'm going to make her play. Dance, monkey, dance. Okay, here's our second letter, and this one is about ADD, and I know a little bit about this. What was I saying?
I think I have that, too. I think I have every mental condition that's out there. ADD, OCD, anxiety, everything.
Maybe we need to do a show with artists and talk about, you know, what commonalities there are.
You would be here all day.
I know, really.
In the acronyms that we are labeled with to see if we can find out, you know, what that's about. All right. So this is from a mom with a son who has ADD. Hi, Kathy. I'm not sure if this question is a good one for your show, but my 10-year-old son was recently diagnosed with ADD. I have him on medication, and it seems to be making improvements, especially in school. He really hates taking the meds, so I feel kind of selfish making him take it, even though I know it's helping him. I would love to know your opinion with medicating kids with ADD, pros or cons. I'm really new at this and would love any feedback from you. So I'll give my thoughts on this. I have ADD. I have ADHD. And
what is the difference, please? I would like to know.
ADD, attention deficit disorder. ADHD is attention deficit hyperactivity disorder.
Ah, okay.
So, you know, as I get older, it's easier to not feel hyperactive.
Right.
But as a kid, you know, when I look back at being when I was a kid, I was constantly moving and constantly driving my mom crazy, because if I felt bored, I felt like I was going to die.
Ah.
And that's what ADD feels like. Like, you can't get enough stimulation. People with ADD are prone to addiction. Luckily, I never went down that road. I think what I ended up getting addicted to was athletics.
Uh-huh.
So as a kid, I started playing sports, and that was a lot of stimulation for me.
That's a good outlet.
It is. I was really lucky to find it, and really lucky to have it be my drug, basically. So I worked out all the time, and I focused highly on excelling at sports. And people with ADD can hyper-focus on something as well as not being able to focus on anything else. For me, it's a feeling of, if something bores me and I have to focus on it, it's painful.
Mm.
And that's not to say that the thing is necessarily a boring thing in general.
It's just if it bores you. And
it's just, if it's not particular to me, I can't stay glued to it. It's always a challenge.
Well, I better check with you every new song I write.
Yes. You could send me a little MP3.
Right.
This is good.
Is this one good, Kathy?
And so really, working out is a big one for me. I don't know if your child is active or not, but that, you didn't say ADHD, so I don't know if that's a part of it for him. But if you could get him on a team or some sort of after-school karate class or something, that can really, really help him work out some of that extra chemistry that's working through his body, and help him get that stimulation that he needs. I didn't get medicated for this until I was 31 years old. I didn't even know that it was a thing. I knew that I had anxiety. I knew that I had depression. But as I got older and I started studying psychology and getting my master's and going through my own therapy, I realized my depression and my anxiety were an offshoot of the ADD and not being able to, and the ways in which it wreaked havoc in my life, not being able to stay organized, not remembering where things are. And, that really takes a toll on you.
Yeah.
So once I was medicated, there was such a huge sense of relief and ease in being able to move forward in my life. So the thing about medicating children,
you have to be really careful, don't you think?
I think so. Absolutely. I think what I really want to know is, a couple of things that I would really say is, make sure your doctor or your therapist is really competent, and make sure they take their time diagnosing your child. I think with children and adolescents, it is so hard to come up with, textbook diagnoses, because sometimes they're just being kids.
Yeah, rebelling or something, huh?
Right, right. So I really appreciate therapists or doctors who take their time with a diagnosis, especially with people under like 23. So if you're sure this is his problem and these meds are helping him, as you say, then you're not being selfish. Sometimes kids don't like doing things. They don't like cleaning their room. It's what's best for them. They don't like brushing their teeth. It's what's best for them. They don't want to go to bed. It's what's best for them. And you're making him take his meds, and he's doing better in school, and it's what's best for him. So I wouldn't feel selfish about that. But I do think it's good that you're asking questions and making sure that you're doing the right thing. The only con I see with a child starting meds that early is their liver is now going to have to work on metabolizing that med for the rest of their lives. And that's a lot of work on the liver. I would suggest...
Are there any alternative, maybe natural remedies?
They're coming out with new
children?
Stuff all the time. I'm not well-versed in it, but I would do some Google searches on that. There's new... it used to just be Ritalin and Adderall, and now there's all kinds of drugs and ways of balancing that brain chemistry. I would look into that. I would also look into, now if he's taking a drug that's an as needed basis, I would look into some days where he just doesn't need it. Maybe it's a Saturday and he just doesn't need it. He's going to go play with his friends. He doesn't need to do his homework. Let him skip that day. But if it's a drug that you have to take as prescribed and you have to take every day, then certainly stick to that, because there can be repercussions for slacking off and putting his brain through that wild ride.
But he is so young. I would be careful. Probably about his liver, like you said.
Yeah. Give it breaks. And there's things like milk thistle to put into his diet, supplement his diet with, that help cleanse the liver. I will every once in a while just take a week off from taking Adderall and give my liver a little break.
Right.
And then when my girlfriend starts figuring out that,
that's too much of a break.
Yeah.
And she's like, have you taken your meds lately? I'm like, okay, time to go back on.
Yeah.
You guys have anything to add to that? I kind of babbled for a while on that topic.
No, I mean, I think you are well-versed in ADD. but I would caution against skipping meds for a day or a week or whatever as a kid. And I just feel like that might be detrimental to his brain chemistry. If it's used to getting that medication and he's under control, in his own way and, you know, succeeding in school and doing all that, I don't know if I would skip meds. I would be afraid of that.
Yeah, that's up for discussion, you know?
Yeah.
Like I said, if it's
depends on the prescription, I guess.
Yeah, and the doctor. I think before you do any kind of, you know, experimenting with the medication, you really should talk to the doctor
about it. If it's something like Prozac, where you have to take it every day as prescribed because it maintains the therapeutic level in your blood, then certainly you can't take a day off. If it's something like mine, Adderall, when I take it on an as-needed basis, meaning sort of like you take Advil when you have a headache, I'll take the Adderall when I know it's a day where I could really use its help. And then on days that I don't, you know, I'm going to the movies or whatever it is, I'll skip it and give my body a break. But that's okay with that particular drug.
And, she should probably be going to a therapist for people who specialize in ADD.
Sure.
Yeah.
And children.
Because it'll probably help him, you know, through his life.
Yeah, yeah. And if this is helping him in school, help him to understand that it's good for him. You didn't say why he doesn't like taking it. I don't know if it's because it makes him feel weird or he just doesn't like swallowing a pill. You know, I'm not really sure why he doesn't like taking it. But if he's having any physical or mental symptoms that he doesn't like, talk to his doctor about them. There might be something that can counteract that, or there might be a different drug you can try.
Yeah, good
advice. I agree.
And this always happens, right? We had a caller during the song. We had a caller while I was babbling. If you want to call in, the number is 818-602-4929.
What are they calling about?
Well, right now I'm going to turn to you.
Oh.
And I'm going to have Janet play us another song.
Oh.
If you don't mind.
Not at all.
Are you happy to do it?
Sure.
Okay, good. Isn't it fun? We got our own private
concert. I know. It's kind of amazing.
Yes, it is. So we're going to hear Janet Robin play a new song. And then as soon as Janet's done with her song, caller, there's the caller again. There's the caller. Call back after the song. Please, I will answer at the end of the song.
All right. I'll do this song from my previous record because I know how much you really like it.
Okay.
Aww.
Yay!
And it's good for all of us people who have these mental conditions.
Oh, my God. She's going to do Beautiful Freak.
Appropriately titled Beautiful Freak.
It makes me really happy.
All right. Can you hear it okay?
Yes. Thank you.
I'm a beautiful freak in a mixed up world. I could try to be just a beautiful girl. When I see you smile, even just for a while, yeah, I dream of your wonderful kiss. It numbs all my loneliness.
I love that song.
That was beautiful.
Aww. I love it. Thank you. I'm going to make a confession right now. When you did the vlog the first time,
yeah,
and we closed it with that song, I got so hooked on that song, I listened to it like every day for weeks. I
wow.
couldn't stop playing. You know when a song you love gets stuck in your head, yeah, and you just can't stop listening to
oh,
it?
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Thank
I had you. A little
glad you like
I
it.
Had a little professional Janet Robin crush going on. I couldn't get enough of that song. All right, we have a caller, patiently, who waited. Let's check it out. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, ladies. How are you?
Hi, who's this?
This is Ithaca. Am I too late to talk about my letter?
Ithaca,
oh,
hi.
Hi.
No, it's not too late.
We read your letter, didn't we?
Give me
I heard that, and I called, and I couldn't get through, and I thought, holy crap.
What's your password?
I didn't get to what you were saying about it.
Give me the password, Ithaca.
Lamb chop.
That's you.
What an awesome word.
Lamb chop.
That's like the old Jerry Lewis puppet thing. Yes. Lamb chop.
I give the letter writers a password, so when they call in and say they're the letter writer, I want to make sure it's them.
That's awesome.
Today, everybody had a different kind of meat. Okay. So talk to us, Ithaca. Tell us what's going on with your son.
I feel bad because I know the medicine is helping him in school and stuff, but he hates taking the medicine, and I just, because he said it makes him feel weird. But, so I feel kind of bad making him take it, but then I know it's helping him. So I don't know. I'm new at this ADD stuff, so I'm not sure. Am I doing something bad by making him take it, or am I?
How do you mean it makes him feel weird? Like, what is he, in what way?
I don't, he, like, not really dizzy, but just kind of lightheaded a little bit or something.
This is something I've heard before a lot with kids, that when they first start taking their ADD meds, they feel lethargic or they feel spacey. And this can be something that works itself out over a little bit of time as his brain chemistry balances. And when you're switching, like if he switched meds, he might have a period of time where he goes through some foggy spaciness as well. If it continues, how long has he been on this med? Which one is he taking?
Vyvanse.
Okay, that's one of the newer ones, right? Is it one of the stimulants, or is it? Do you take it on a regular schedule, or does he take it as needed?
As needed. I should just give him in the morning through the week before school.
And that's how his doctor prescribed it?
Yes.
Yeah. See, if it's helping him with his schoolwork, you're his mom, and I think you're being a better mom by looking out for his bigger picture interests. He's a child. He can't do that yet, right?
So he's
going to tell you when he doesn't feel good. He's going to tell you when he doesn't like something. And then it becomes your job to assess what his best interest is. And I think you're doing a really good job at that. I know it's scary when you have to drug your child. But what I would look into is ways of protecting his liver and cleansing his liver and giving his liver as much help as possible to metabolize the drugs, because he's starting so young, it's going to be a lifetime of metabolizing these drugs. So anything you can do to support his liver with supplements, or sometimes there's a fast you can do. I would slip that into his regimen.
Yeah, the doctors don't tell you that, do they?
I had no idea.
Yeah. Well, our liver is what metabolizes everything we put into our bodies, right? Like alcohol, all the things that we do. Our liver has to metabolize all that, and drugs and synthetic things that we take into our bodies are the hardest on the liver, and it can handle it. It's a strong organ.
But when you're 10 years old,
yeah, and when you're starting from 10, you want to think of the lifespan of the liver and give it as much support as possible.
Oh, wonderful! Thanks for letting me know that. That's great to know. Jeez.
Yeah. Well, you are very welcome. Thanks for calling in, Lamb Chop. I mean, Ithaca.
Hey. Anytime. Lamb Chop. Thank you. I love your show. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Bye bye.
Bye.
I love that. The other two callers have slabs of meat to identify themselves as well.
I could probably figure out what those passwords
don't
were.
Don't do it.
I
don't
won't.
Do it. I know. I just basically gave them a password and then gave away a big clue to the rest of the world.
Yeah.
They're like, Sirloin? No, that's not it.
Philly cheesesteak.
Right. So if you guys want to have a, you have something you'd like us to talk about on Kathy Is In, please send it to kathyisin@gmail.com. And that's Kathy spelled with a C. And please put in the subject line radio letter. If you just send me a letter, I won't know what you're sort of expecting. Is it to be private? Is it to be for the radio? So please put in the subject line radio letter. Send it to kathyisin@gmail.com. You can also go to kathyisin.com if you'd like some more private guidance. There's ways of getting a hold of me there where we can do something together privately. So that's kathyisin.com. We have another letter here, but I don't know that we have a lot of time to get into it. I want Janet to tell me a little bit about where people can find her live next.
Let's see. I'm going to be going on the road heading out after Thanksgiving to the East Coast. So if you're in the East Coast area, I'm starting out in Barrington, New Jersey, which is right by Philly.
New Jersey.
Yeah. Right next door to Philly. I've got some shows out there. Where else am I? I'm going to be in New York City playing at a club out there. I've got a house concert. If you don't know what a house concert is, it's at someone's private house.
Well,
I do a show.
Swanky.
Yeah. That is swanky.
So I've got a lot of shows coming up out there. And then
how can people get you to do a private show at their house?
They can actually find a link on my website, janetrobin.com. There's actually a house concert link on there. It explains what a house concert is. And then you can actually email me personally.
Ah,
from my website.
We got to figure out a way to get Janet to come play in my little apartment.
Yep.
People on the staircase just trying to fit in.
I've done all kinds of things, trust me.
We have another caller. Let's see what they have to say. Hello, welcome. You're on the air. Hello?
Hi.
Hi. Who's calling?
Hello. Hi. Oh, it's getting delayed here.
What? Oh, it's delayed.
I was getting waiting for the...
Yeah, turn the sound down on your computer or your radio, whatever you're listening to, because that'll confuse you.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. What's your name?
It's 3 a.m. here, so...
Oh, really? Where are
you? Yeah.
Where are you? Where are you located?
I'm from Philippines.
Where?
Philippines.
Okay,
wow.
Awesome. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, so if we have a little delay, we understand. It's got some...
There's a lot of water.
Yeah, we have a little. Yeah, I guess.
So what's on your mind? What do you want to say?
It's right on the topic. I've been listening. I've been a fan for a long time. I've been watching the show before on YouTube, and then so I'm kind of happy that you're back on again.
Oh, thank you.
So what I have in mind is really. Yeah, it's really timely because I've been suffering from anxiety since I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
And then it kind of progressed into depression when I was in college.
Yeah.
But there's something that triggers it. Like, it kind of shuts off at some point and then it comes back around again.
Mm-hmm.
And then I decided to see a therapist, and she's giving me Rivotril and Zoloft right now.
Uh-huh.
Been taking it for about 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to let go of Zoloft and Rivotril, but then I kind of feel that it went back, but on a stronger, much stronger, how can I say this? It's much stronger than it was before.
The dosage?
I'm more emotional.
You had a rebound.
Oh, she had
a rebound.
Depression.
Oh, your emotion, right.
Yeah.
A big rebound.
Is this when you changed drugs? And, you had a...
It did. And then...
I'm going to have Becca tell you a little something that she went through just last week.
Yeah, I actually just went through this process of switching meds last week. And Kathy can attest to this. And I suffered a really dark depression. And I, like you, I've had anxiety since I was a child. It reared its ugly head as depression in college. I started seeing a therapist and I was put on medication that helped for a while. I've been on it for a long time now and I switched last week. And so it's completely normal for that week that you're switching meds, that you're weaning off one and adding this new one, that you're going to suffer some mental and physical ailments. And It's completely normal.
And it's chemical.
It is. It's completely chemical. And what it is your brain is now getting used to a different medication, which is going to affect your body differently.
Mm-hmm. Your neurotransmitters are
readjusting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Readjusting. And that's going to feel like something because our neurotransmitters are super duper powerful.
Yes.
So that's going to manifest itself as depression or as, you know, Becca had to sleep a lot, and it was over within a week, right?
Yeah, I'm just now on the other side of it. I mean, it's still happening right now, but as we speak, I'm having a panic attack. No, if it lasts more, I would say, than 2 weeks, then you need to talk to your doctor about maybe a different medication, because this medication may not be right for you.
Are you in the middle of switching your meds right now, or is that process already done?
They want to try to stop it, and then they want to see if I will respond to it, or because they're trying to think of different medicines to try to put me on. So they put me on Rivotril and Zoloft first, and then now... they tried to put me on those two first, and then now they're trying to take me out of it to see if my body can go on without it.
So you're in the process right now. You're in the trial and error process right now.
Yeah.
Try to remember the following thing and try to write it down and put it on Post-its around your house, and so you can continue to remind yourself.
You know, I have Post-its right now here.
Good. Write on them.
I do have Post-its.
I want you to write down on the Post-it. This is only chemistry, and it's balancing itself. And I want you to stick them all around your house, because a lot of what can happen, I don't know if obsessive thoughts are part of your thing, but you can start to tell yourself, I'm doomed, this isn't going to work, because you feel so bad. It's kind of like, I like to use PMS as an example of this. We as women have all experienced it at one time or another. We know what it is. We can't turn it off. It's there anyway. You know, and it makes us cry, or it makes us... have different kinds of, we think differently, and we have to keep remembering that it's chemistry and it's going to change, and that'll help you with the process of moving through it. But thank you for calling in, and keep paying attention to what's going on, and
keep talking to your doctors.
Yeah, keep talking to your doctors.
And you're going to be okay.
Yeah, you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
So we only have about 2 minutes left.
I'm glad you've been waiting.
What?
Yeah.
Good.
Hello.
Yeah. Are you there?
I hope we helped you.
Hello? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye, and good luck.
Bye.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Okay. You can hang up now. All the way from the Philippines, because I can't figure out how to hang up. Isn't it fun doing this radio show with me when buttons don't work, and my headphones don't work? And
it actually really increases my anxiety level.
Does it?
Bye.
She's still there. See what I've done?
Hi, yeah. Hello? Yeah.
Okay.
It's kind of cutting off, but it's going back and forth.
Okay.
All right. We'll see you.
Do me a favor and hang up, because I'm not successfully disconnecting on this end. So do me a favor and disconnect on your end.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much, guys.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Wow.
You never know what's going to happen. Okay, so you guys, I just want to thank my sponsors, LuckyDogLeather.com, DiscoverSweet.com, WeHaveToStopNow.tv, and Blagospot.com. We were here with the wonderful Janet Robin today. You can find out all you need to know at JanetRobin.com. And you can also find her on my website in the featured guest section at KathyIsIn.com. If you lost track of how to spell her name or where to find her, just go to Kathy's Inn. You can find her there. There's links to...
Thanks for having me, Kathy.
Thanks for... will you come back?
Of course.
I love having you here. It's like a personal show.
I love it.
It's fantastic. And Becca, thank you for being here.
And you're helping a lot of people, man. It's great.
I hope so. We all got to help each other. All right, folks, stay tuned. If you are listening on LA Talk Radio, this is where we say goodbye. If you are listening on TransformationTalkRadio.com or on WBLQ 1230 AM on the East Coast, stay tuned. For the next 10 minutes, you're going to have the Kathy is In 5-Minute feature with musician Deborah Davis. And I know I played this last week, but I want to play it again because Deborah's going to be here next week. And thanks for being here, you guys.
Yeah.
That was wonderful.
Bravo.
I loved that.
That was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good,
though. It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
It was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.
Boo.
You're listening to Kathy is In with Kathy DeBono.
And now, the Kathy is In 5-minute feature.
Musician Deborah Davis.
Loneliness, get out of my bed. This ain't the pillow where you lay your head. He still lives here, I just can't make him stay. Well, move over anyway. 'Cause I can't get no these feelings dropping in like uninvited guests. My moon rises when your sun sets till you're home again.
Oh, you're in your hometown. Okay. Just I'm going to turn off your head. Yeah.
How about now?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Janet Robin live.
The one from the new song, new record, is called Clean Getaway.
Such a get up.